This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we take a look at key issues that affect the UK campus and the Lexington community. I'm your host, Andrew Dawson, and today we're talking about social media and emergencies, an especially timely topic after yesterday's attack in Manhattan, which killed 8 people. If you use social media, there's a good chance you are able to follow this story as it unfolded in real time. Now, according to the Pew Research Center, in the past decade, there's been a tenfold jump in the use of social media. Nearly two-thirds of adults in the U.S. use social media sites. While social media is used for keeping family and friends updated, when disaster strikes the area or the country, the question we will try to answer today is, how does social media respond? WRFL-FM reporter Maris Halpern reports on how the University of Kentucky PR Center reacts if a natural disaster or tragedy happened on the university's campus.
Enough to have multiple platforms to express our thoughts and feelings through social media. According to CBS News, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram are just a few of the most popular outlets that our society turns to. Thankfully, a few outlets have allowed us to keep in contact with our friends and followers when disasters strike. Facebook has developed a safety check, Twitter has a Discover page to keep updated on breaking news, and Snapchat has many story features within the application that provide users with news. We spoke with the Executive Director of PR and Marketing at the University of Kentucky's campus, Jay Blanton, about what would happen if disaster would strike in the university and what qualifies the disaster to be worthy of a UK alert.
It depends. I mean, ultimately they make that decision, the police department make that decision as to what qualifies for an alert. Sometimes it's done in consultation with a broader set of people, so the police department reports up to the Executive Vice President for Finance Administration, Eric Monday, who sort of runs all the facilities on campus, human resources. So if it's a pretty significant issue, like the decision to say shut down classes, he does that. He makes the initial recommendation after consulting with people, EVPFA, Executive Vice President. And ultimately, the president makes the decision about whether to shut down the university.
Right.
And they do that in consultation, and there's a broader conversation that takes place. You know, if it's clearly, if it's an emergent situation, you know, where people need to take action.
With past hurricanes and tragedies that have been happening around the world, PR, marketing, and technology have altered through the years. Margo and I wanted to take a deeper look and see if Mr. Blanton noticed these alterations on UK's campus.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I mean, within the last few years, we moved to, it used to be, emergency management sent an alert, and then we would manually do all those things I was describing. But a few years ago, we changed it to that sort of automatic upload to the homepage, that automatic feed into us, because of the speed with which we need to do things now, with social media being so prevalent, so many people on Twitter, Facebook, and other platforms.
The University of Kentucky's PR and marketing team uses social media to push information on web pages and social media applications. Unfortunately, with the amount of disasters that have been happening around the world recently, is society turning towards social media to get this tragic news? With WRFL Radio, I'm Maris Halpern.
Joining us tonight to help us understand social media and emergencies, we have two experts on the topic. John Bobel is a public information officer for Lexington Emergency Management. He began working with emergency management when he joined LFUCG as a public information officer in 1993. He has more than 40 years of experience in journalism and related fields, research methods and analysis, management consulting, and electrical broadcast internet engineering. He is also an instructor for FEMA, teaching courses for first responders and public affairs personnel in the areas of media relations, use of social media, stakeholder administration, and rumor mitigation. We also have with us Jessica Lopez-Husky. She is a market promotional specialist senior at the University of Kentucky Police Department. Over her professional career, she has worked on Capitol Hill, in entertainment, and now the University of Kentucky's Police Department. She has been with the police department for 2 years and focuses her work on helping to push news through social media posts, articles, and photography. So our first question is going to be for you, John. How important is social media in emergency management and in crisis communication?
Well, it's become vitally important for all aspects of emergency management. Generally speaking, the first time that we will learn about an emergency is through social media. Typically, we'll find out the first word about an event or an incident through Twitter or Snapchat. The conversation then evolves through Instagram and eventually Facebook, and certainly the other social media channels will get involved as well. So the challenge for emergency managers right now is to really be able to tune in and monitor those channels, be aware of what's going on, and then respond to it as quickly as we can in an appropriate manner.
Of all those different social media platforms you can use, which do professionals like you use the most?
I would say my time is split probably 40% with Twitter, 40% with Facebook, 10% with Instagram, and then additionally with Snapchat and some of the other social media channels. We have to have a presence on everything that everybody uses. But on a day-to-day basis, our focus primarily is on Twitter for inbound information, for notification, and then Facebook, and all, of course, our website to get information out to the public and really ascertain what the pulse of the public on social media is relative to the event.
Jessica, how about UK Police? What social media platforms do you use?
We primarily use Facebook and Twitter. Instagram is used more as a way to get to know our department personally. So, you know, a lot of photos. But I'd say mainly for things like emergency management or emergency type notifications, I would say Twitter.
Which do you find most effective?
Well, we have different audiences. We have, I think Facebook, we have a larger reach. And Twitter is not as much. I think that's something that we're slowly getting, you know, likes and views and retweets and things like that. But, I mean, it really depends on what the post is.
John, is there one that you find, one social media platform you find to be most effective for either monitoring or getting information out to the public?
Well, I think, Andrew, you have to look at the audiences that use those channels. If you look at the broad spectrum of social media use, Facebook is by far the channel that has the widest use, the widest number of subscriptions, the widest amount of demographic use, from college students through certainly faculty and staff here at the university to people who have retired. Twitter's a little more specific in terms of a middle-aged user, and the Twitterverse, if you will, is much smaller. At the same time, a tweet account being used by traditional media, by non-traditional media, by bloggers, by people who want to be there first, who want to get the right information to the right people at the right time, they're the ones on Twitter. They're the ones who are going to publish there first. And that really is going to be the electronic canary in the coal mine these days.
John, are there ways you use social media that are closed to the public just for those involved in the immediate crisis?
Well, we can set up what's known as a closed Twitter channel where we permission other people, say media types, where we can put information out on Twitter that's just relevant for media representatives, say the time of a news conference or the time of a briefing. But, you know, for us, our primary responsibility is to get information out to the public. What happened, what we're doing about it, and how quickly we can make it go away and get things back to normal. And we'll use all the channels out there to do that.
Jessica, same question. Are there ways you use social media that are closed to the public just for those involved in the immediate crisis?
No, I don't. I mean, I've only been with the department you know, close to 2 years. So in my experience, no.
What kind of relationship does the university and a police force need to develop to have a successful emergency management team and alert system?
Can you elaborate a little bit?
Just the relationship between the university and the police department. When you guys are developing either an alert system or a test system, what kind of relationship does the school and the police department need to have in terms of how you would make that most effective to work?
Well, we have the UK Alert in place, and I can, you know, talk about that in greater detail if you'd like. But basically, if there's something that is an immediate threat, something that the public, students, you know, the community need to do something, take shelter, avoid an area because there's a gas leak or, you know, whatever emergency, that gets sent out, and that you don't have to be a student or staff or faculty at UK to sign up for that. You could be a parent or I think even a member of the community. And that is what Jay Blanton had mentioned earlier, how that works. But that is something that is already existing, as well as recently there was an off-campus Twitter account that was created specifically for things related to, you know, off-campus events. And given the jurisdiction of the University of Kentucky Police Department, you know, they may or may not know from the Lexington Police Department, you know, things going on outside of their jurisdiction. So that's why that was created. But I would say that we at present have a very strong relationship with the University of Kentucky, especially, you know, PR and marketing, and we work very closely together. And the UK alert system is, you know, something that I think colleges and universities across the nation have some version of that.
I mean, the UK alert system works very, very well. I mean, we, in emergency management, that's one of the many channels that we subscribe to and get those alerts so that we can certainly supplement as needed, certainly amplify the messages that UK puts out. I think it's important to note that we are a big amplifier for the community of Lexington Police, Lexington Fire, UKPD, the university as a whole, where we will monitor those messages and take them and retweet them or add them to our own channels, because people are very tightly focused these days. More people are getting information from a mobile device than they are from a desktop or a laptop. And in these days of apps and text messages, one of the things that we certainly want to emphasize is that people need more than one single channel to get emergency information. If they're on the university campus, certainly the alert system that the UK Police has. But that's just not enough. There are other apps for weather, apps for news, email alerts that you can get, weather alerts that you can get from a variety of places. You have to stay plugged in to several sources of information so you're not caught off guard during an emergency.
So if we expand this a little bit outside just the campus of here at UK and go into Lexington, Fayette County, John, what would you say goes into the development of social media strategy for this region in comparison to others?
Well, we spend 95% of our time for what we call blue skies. They're wonderful days. Nothing in particular is going on. And that's where we really try to emphasize our be aware, have a plan, build a kit, get involved messages. Those four messages are really key for anyone in the community to be prepared for emergencies. We've just released our own app. It's the Be Ready app that you can find on our website, BeReadyLexington.com. Certainly our website, certainly a lot of other good information to tap into, but you have to want to be aware. That's the most important point.
When we're thinking of social media, we certainly know how quickly one tweet, one post, if the information is right, or even if it's wrong, how quickly it can spread. WRFL reporter Margot Gerwin reports on the rapid progression of social media and its role in our nation's most recent emergency events, including hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, and the shooting in Las Vegas.
Professor Zixu Tai is an expert in the areas of global communication and the interplay of new media and society. I asked him what major changes he foresees for social media in the wake of recent events, such as the hurricanes and the Las Vegas massacre.
Well, people are becoming more dependent on social media, so that's the first line of the information they get. But you know, with the social media world, there's a lot of misinformation we've seen. So people, you know, if you don't use that well, it can work negatively.
Mr. Tai spoke about the main cause of misinformation in social media. The pace of how quickly information is communicated can easily be the enemy of news.
People are becoming more and more dependent. Then it makes it all the more important to have the right information there. And also, it's very easy to spread a lot of information there. I've seen a pattern just like that. They tend to release a lot of information. But if it's not done properly, it may create some kind of panic among people.
Social media allows us to release information in the blink of an eye. But in the case of an emergency, if that information is incorrect, it can cause even more problems. For WRFL Radio, I'm Margot Gerwin.
Welcome back to Campus Voices. Today we are talking about social media use in emergency situations. We are joined by John Bobel of the Lexington Emergency Management and Jessica Lopez Husky of the Lexington Police Department, of the University of Kentucky Police Department, excuse me. Before the break, we listened to that piece, that report from reporter Margot Gerwin. John, Dr. Tai said his major concern with social media is how quickly information can be released, leaving room to make mistakes. What do you do when there's false information on social media in the middle of a disaster?
Well, one of the things we've learned early on with social media is that the first reports are seldom correct. So you really have to wait to get good intelligence, good situational awareness of any event that's happening. You can hear about a shooting. You can hear about a fire. You can hear about some sort of natural or domestic or international event. You really have to wait. You have to consider the source. Is this somebody you know? Is this a bona fide news source? Certainly with Twitter, one of the things we're going to look at is how old is the account? Was this account set up yesterday? How many followers does it have? Does it have three followers? How legitimate is some of the information that it's putting out? And then obviously as time goes on and as other reports start to gel and really develop the true ground truth so that you have multiple sources and eventually you will have an official source emerge from the pack. I mean, let's take the Boston Marathon bombing, for example. That particular event happened, I want to say, about 2:30 in the afternoon in Boston. It was a horrible, horrible event. As soon as it happened, social media blew up. Pictures, tweets, posts. And very quickly, the Boston Police Department, their social media person, got there, grabbed her phone, and started talking about what was going on, what was authentic, the fact that this account officially represented Boston Police, and that any media, any person should trust the reports from there. Any other reports from unofficial sources should not be considered legitimate. They're hearsay. And certainly, you know, another good example are the recent hurricanes. Certainly, Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma through Florida and Texas. One of the things that FEMA did and did very well was to establish rumor control web pages so that any rumor was debunked if it was false, and most of them were, then that information was published, that particular web presence was promoted, so that anyone who thought they had heard a rumor could go to that web page, scroll through it, and find out what was true and what was not. So, you know, certainly rumor control during any sort of event is important. The days of ignoring social media, I mean, as I taught social media for FEMA, one of the biggest hurdles we had to overcome early on was from the police, fire, saying, oh, that social media thing, that's not going to catch on. We don't have to do that. And it's very similar to if two people have a conversation and you don't want to listen and you leave the room, does that mean the conversation didn't take place? Well, of course it did. You just weren't there to hear it. The same thing is with social media. All of your official entities, all of your stakeholders, all of your other organizations have to be willing to listen, have to try and engage with the various groups that they need to tie into, so that once they've established their official presence during an emergency, they can be the official source and provide potentially life-saving information as soon as people need it.
Now to you, Jessica, can you think of a time in your career when social media really made the difference in helping the situation?
Well, I was going to elaborate upon what John mentioned earlier,
sure.
But going back to what he said about, you know, police or fire wanting social media to go away, that's exactly why they hired me in the first place. They saw that need. They saw the importance of connecting with other people through social media, you know, establishing that voice of, you know, this is correct information. You're getting it straight from the source. And that's something that I was particularly taught at this FBI social media class, how important it is to establish, you know, your social media account as, you know, the...
As important.
Yeah.
And certainly, too, here at UK, one of the most important facts here is that from a university administration standpoint, from UK police, they are very supportive of social media as being a communications channel with students, faculty, and staff. I mean, we've had exercises with UK police where they have asked emergency management to come in and
it was a tabletop.
It was a tabletop exercise, and I was fortunate to be asked to be an observer for this particular exercise that used a lot of social media as examples of inbound and outbound information. And certainly, you know, Chief Joe Monroe, the other UK PD staffers, and the university at large understand, respect, and utilize the power of social media during all times, but especially recognize it during emergency situations.
Now, in the beginning of the show, I mentioned the Pew Research survey that said 67% of Americans are on social media. So with that number in mind, John, are there enough people in the Lexington and the Fayette County area that you're confident that you use social media during a disaster, you could reach everyone just through social media?
Well, no, we can't reach everybody through social media, and that's really why we still use a lot of very traditional means to reach people. There are people who still rely on television news as a large portion of their news menu, if you will. certainly radio, and you know, including stations like WRFL and the other public and commercial stations here in Lexington. They're going to be vital sources of information for their audiences during an emergency. So how we communicate to them, and in turn, how they communicate to the entire population of Lexington. You got to remember that with the latest census information, Lexington has about 325,000 permanent residents. Okay, now let's add 25 or 30,000 students at the University of Kentucky. Let's take another five from Transy. Let's add in, I don't know, another 5 to 10,000 commuter students from BCTC. And how many people come to Lexington every day to shop and to work? So we're talking about, on an average day-to-day basis, being responsible for the lives and livelihood of 400,000 people within the 325 square mile parameter of Fayette County. We've got a lot of tools in our bucket to communicate with people. And the trick is to practice how to use each of those tools as often as possible so that when we have to get a message out, we know how to pick the right tool and then keep picking out the tools and using the tools so that people have the right message at the right time so they can make the right decisions in a potentially life-saving situation.
Did you have something to add?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, thankfully, local news stations follow the University of Kentucky Police Department on Twitter. So there have been times when they've been really great to retweet things like our upcoming active shooter trainings or, you know, help get that message across that, you know, where there's a gas leak or what have you. So they've been great and in establishing in receiving their support in establishing the police department as the official, source of information and getting that out to their audience as well.
But you raise a good point in that the active shooter training that UKPD offered, great training, but you got to get people involved. I mean, they had a fair number of people come to that training, but that type of training is very important. Basic first aid training, really important. CPR training. Even the most simple CPR training these days. So you have to take responsibility for yourself to stay aware, get involved, learn some skills, and know what you're going to do. You know, even college students and as well as faculty, staff need to have a plan. Do you have an emergency kit or what you may consider to be a bug out bag, if there's a fire alarm, if there's some reason that you have to leave your apartment or dorm? Do you have an old backpack, that old ratty backpack that you brought when you moved in?
Do you know your exits in a classroom?
Exactly.
What will you do if somebody were to come in right now? You know, would you run, hide, fight?
Those are important considerations to take into account because you look at things that happen. You can, by and large, we can predict when bad weather is going to happen. But there are a lot of bad things that happen in this world. And you have to go through them and at least run through the scenario. Where are the exits? What am I going to do? What are the decisions that I have to make to keep myself safe, my classmates safe, my friends safe, my family safe?
Got about a minute left here of the show, so I wanted to ask both of you some accounts for those people listening that may be new to the social media. What are some accounts they should follow on Facebook, Twitter, or other platforms to help keep them safe?
Well, I'll start off by letting people know that the University of Kentucky Police Department is on Facebook, just as that name, University of Kentucky Police Department. We also have a Twitter account at UK Police and Instagram, which is just UKPD. But definitely follow us on Facebook and Twitter for, the latest updates regarding, things related to the University of Kentucky campus.
I mean, our central depository of information is our website, BeReadyLexington.com. It's just been redesigned so that it looks great on mobile devices or tablets or desktops. And we have all the other information about our social media. Our Facebook account is at Lexington KYEM. Our Twitter handle, even simpler, at Lex KYEM. And if you subscribe to those, kind of just take a look every so often. We'll give you good preparedness information. And if there is an emergency, that's where we'll be pushing out all of that life-saving information.
Also, before I forget, I hope the audience members have heard of or are aware of the LiveSafe app, but that is a critical, such an important tool. And just to give you a quick background, depending on the time, Christina Anderson is a co-founder of this app, and she was one of the survivors of the Virginia Tech shooting about 10 years ago. And she it basically has all these wonderful capabilities. Most importantly is allowing or empowering, rather, users to be those extra eyes and ears for the police department. If you see something, say something, and it can be reported anonymously. We've got over 10,000 users currently, and the police department has received quite a number of tips that they wouldn't have had otherwise. And it's a free app. It's called the LiveSafe app.
It's a great app, and it's important for people to remember that if you see something that's out of place, call the police, call the fire department, let them know. They're never, never going to criticize you for making that call and having them come out and check it as being okay. Because that one time when something's not okay, it could result in something very, very tragic happening on this campus. Nobody wants that to happen. So if you see something, say something.
And one more time, the name of that app was?
It's the LiveSafe app.
The LiveSafe app. Well, thanks to our experts, John Bobel and Jessica Lopez-Husky, we have better insight on how social media is affecting the way we receive information pertaining to any kind of disaster that may occur in our world. Not only can we now keep in touch with family and friends at a high speed, but we can also check their safety. Once again, we'd like to thank our guests for coming by. Thank you for joining us for tonight's Campus Voices. Stay tuned for more commercial-free programming on 88.1 WRFL-FM, Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Andrew Dawson.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.FM and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.